Phoenix FM at 28 minutes to 4 on this Wednesday afternoon. It's not often we have a guest in the studio, but we have got one today. His name is Simon Collier, and he's going to tell us about the Via Sacra Walk. Afternoon, Simon. Thanks for coming.
Good afternoon.
I'd never heard of the Via Sacra Walk. I'd never heard of it. It's an unusual name, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It means that it's a sacred walk, and when people think about it, they would normally think of a tree-lined road or a tree-lined way. That's what it basically means.
Yeah, so I've obviously done a bit of research now, and I've worked out where it is. And it's basically along what used to be the Western Front, isn't it, in the First World War?
Yes, we're actually going to start walking just from above the Swiss border. That's to be on June the 22nd. And then we're walking along the lines. The lines did move, actually, but they were generally considered to be fairly static by that time. And in fact, the Somme, interestingly, the Battle of the Somme started on the 1st of July, which is actually exactly halfway through the First World War. So we're going to be starting from the border of Switzerland, moving up through Verdun, through the Somme, where there's this very big commemoration ceremony is going on. It's about 3 or 4 days of activity, and then carrying on to Nieuport on the Belgian coast. And Nieuport was quite interesting because they actually opened the floodgates and flooded a huge area, drowned many Germans, but it actually stopped them from getting past. So it's very, very flat, and so this went all the way sort of inland, about 25 miles, something like that. So that's why, and we're going to actually finish on the beach, basically.
And is it waymarked in some way? I mean, how do you know exactly where you're going then?
No, what actually happened was Sir Anthony Seldon, perhaps if I should just tell you a little bit about him. He's a very well-known headmaster. He's now Vice Chancellor of Buckingham University, and he's written about 30 books. He's a contemporary historian.
So yeah, including one on David Cameron.
Including one on David, yes, he's David Cameron's personal history advisor, actually. But he wrote a book called Public Schools in the Great War. That actually got another chapter to write a book about state schools in the public war, in the Great War. But while he's researching this book, he came across this guy, Alexander Douglas Gillespie, who basically had written back to his headmaster with just before the Battle of Loos, a couple of days before he was actually killed, and said, "What a fantastic, you know, if only after the war we could create a walk all the way along the front lines so people will, you know, remember the sacrifice and remember the, you know, what went on."
So has it taken 100 years for this to happen then?
Yeah, it was dug out through letters, through doing research. It was simply a letter. He didn't go out to promote it. There was actually some interest in the 1920s in the idea, but it's sort of, you know, the world was in a recession. Britain was having tremendous economic problems after the war, and that sort of thing was completely forgotten as everyone was, of course, surviving until, of course, then the Great Crash, and that took us into another era of problems. But Britain was, economically, we were really sort of hard hit. But anyway, that's where the idea came from, and we're talking about it as a second century memorial. And what I like about it is, by doing this, you can actually see a general's eye view of the front line, because, you know, people talk about the Duck and the Song and everything, but how do you actually sort of position them in your mind against one another. So by actually doing a walk like this and actually seeing all the different things that went on at that particular time, you'll get a real, you know, feeling of history.
Was it difficult to actually work out exactly geographically where the walk should go?
Yeah, absolutely. And because things were moving, it really required a lot of work. But we've got a brilliant historian called Andrew Mullen, and he's actually been plotting the route. He's been working on it for many months, actually. But the detail that he's gone into is absolutely incredible. Oh, yeah. And, quite a job, actually.
So it's 450 miles. Is it mainly along roads, or are the footpaths?
No, it's mainly across fields.
Oh, really?
Up and down, yeah. There's sort of some quite mountainous bits. I say not mountainous, but...
So you've had to get permission, have you, for part of it to walk across private land?
Or? Yeah, I think Andrew's been involved in all that sort of side of it. How he's done that, I don't know. I don't actually know, to be honest. But he's been doing all that. I haven't gone into that detail, to be honest with you.
So is he the navigator as well, then?
Yes, he is. We're using some very sophisticated tool called ViewRanger, which is quite exciting. It's an app which turns your cell phone into a GPS device, and so you can actually, you'll be able to see us. You'll be, the route's going to be plotted, so you can actually see it, and you can actually see us going up as breadcrumbs going up the walk, you know, as your cell phone will actually position you on the map. And we've also got, what you can do is you can upload via Twitter images, video or text, so you'll actually be able to follow us going up the walk, basically.
Okay, so some people are actually only doing part of the walk, is that right? You've got some celebrities, haven't you?
Yeah, we've got,
Liz Hurley
yeah. And her son is coming. Dominic West is an actor. Cherry Lungi is taking part. And also Tom Heap, he's a BBC Country File presenter, but he's actually one of Gillespie's great nephews. You know, Gillespie, of course, is this soldier who, you know, had the founding idea.
Yeah,
so, but we've actually, since we're getting more and more publicity, we've had articles in the Times and in the Telegraph, more people are ringing up and, you know, saying, look, how can we join in? Can we come and do, you know, just say a day or something like that?
Is that possible to do? If I said to you now, I want to do part of the walk,
you can go to the website. And you can see it, there's no cost involved, so you can actually see all the different legs and you can say, oh, I'd like to do that one, come over and do it. We've got about 100 people, I think, now actually taking part.
Doing the whole thing or just doing parts of it.
What's been the big problem is because of the Somme, accommodation is booked up sort of 100 miles, you know, in any direction. Even we found tremendous problems to get accommodation. Yeah. But
they'll have to bring a tent with them.
Yes, exactly. Well, even the campsites are booked out. Right. It's absolutely amazing.
Have to put a tent in somebody's field on the way. So this is all happening on what date is this, Simon? That starts?
I'm starting on the 22nd of June. That's when we actually start walking. I'll be there on the night of the 21st, and then we'll start walking and moving our way sort of up the line, so to speak.
And how long will it take roughly to do that?
I think it's about 21 days in total. Okay. So we're doing a lot of other walks. We're meeting a Christina Holston, who's our said to be one of the world's experts on the Battle of Verdun. So, you know, we were spending a bit of time in those areas, not just sort of belting up the, you know, as fast as we can go.
Sure, it's going to be fast. Are you going to be fit enough to do the 400?
I'll tell you at the end of it.
Okay, now, one thing I wanted to ask you about, I read about this Somme security zone. What's that about then?
Yeah, well, there's going to be a number of very major ceremonies on the Somme, and they've created a security zone. You can't get in, you need passes to get in. There were passes available for the public, but they actually went a year ago. They were sort of auctioned.
So what's going on to make it a security zone? That seems
They've got the army or the gendarmes and around the perimeter, but apparently that's done very, very thoroughly. So all the governments are going to be at the Thepi Val Memorial. This is a memorial for the missing on the Somme, and Sir Anthony, who's of course David Cameron's advisor, has actually been in the government party. I'm going to the Lochinvar crater, which was actually the largest explosion prior to the atomic bomb. When this mine went off, all the windows rattled in Downing Street. It was a massive explosion right under the lines.
Right. What caused that?
There was a massive amount of mining going on under the Somme. I mean, it was incredible. It wasn't just a couple of tunnels. We were digging, and the Germans were digging, and there was underground fighting and so on. There's two mines that are still missing under the Somme, huge mines. And in the 1950s, there was a lightning storm, a mine went off, massive mine, leaving a giant crater. Luckily, you know, no one was hurt, but there's loads and loads of unexploded ammunition.
So it's still a dangerous area.
Oh yes, there is certainly. The farming community are well used to.
Yeah. So are they hoping to have some sort of permanent walk available, so that it maybe in a year's time, 2 years' time, or somebody could follow the same route?
Our idea is that we're talking to the French and Belgian and the English government about setting up a permanently signposted route I don't think a road, you know, a full-on road would be probably impractical. But so we're going to have a sort of permanently sited walk, and next year we'll actually be doing it again. So the idea is to actually keep doing it. That's the basic idea.
Well, I would have thought it would catch on in quite a big way.
Yeah.
Particularly for people who like long walks, like 450.
Well, they don't have to do the whole lot, you see, so no. You could build it up in sections. I mean, it's like start an association.
So this is not a sponsored walk, is it, in any way at the moment? But it could be, I suppose, in the future.
Yes, I mean, we're getting a lot of sponsorship from companies giving us kit and this sort of thing. I don't know if it's okay just to mention our high-tech
Southend
company. They're doing us all our clothing. And we've got the world's most advanced carbon trekking poles, they're called. You know, they're like the skiers have, but you use them for walking. And we've got, this very sophisticated view ranger software. We've got NetWeather TV. So we're going to have a daily briefing, and you're also going to be able to look at the route and actually see what the weather's like further up the track, this sort of thing, you know.
Make sure you've got a good pair of boots. And a couple of pairs of socks. Except that two pairs of socks is good. Because
They
don't rub on your feet then quite
absolutely.
So much. I know a little bit about these things.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right on that.
Simon, thanks ever so much for coming in. Simon Collier, who's going to be one of the people completing the whole route. That's 450 miles.
Yep.
How many other people are going to be with you doing the whole thing?
There's three in the full team. This is our team. And then everyone else is is just coming as a person. I'm not sure how many of those people are going to do the whole lot, but there's just three in the actual official team, so to speak.
Well, good luck with that. 22nd of June. You must keep us informed as to maybe you could ring in and let us know how.
Yeah, if anyone who wants to join in, just look at
the website.
Yeah.
Can you give us the details of the website?
Yeah, I would just say, because there's a number in it, just look for Via Sacra Walk through Google and you'll find it straight away.
Okay. Thank you, Simon, for coming in to talk about the Via Sacra Walk.